if you're looking for student housing near a specific university, we know that that's going to be a very relevant keyword, which leads us to very relevant clicks and then very relevant leads.
In today's podcast, we've brought in Melissa Cornine, Media and Research Manager here at Catalyst. This will be an interview-style format where Josh Jennings, our interactive manager, will be speaking with Melissa about the strategy behind our services. Ad placement and tracking results are just a few of the ways that we measure our success in the industry, and we hope that you can take something away for your business from this episode. This is Listen, the Catalyst Marketing Podcast, where we talk about how strategy, creativity, and hard numbers come together to make great marketing campaigns. I'm Luke Dyer, a member of the team here at Catalyst and the host of this episode.
Why do you feel paid online advertising is so successful in the student and multifamily housing industry?
So an advantage we have with our industry is people are specifically searching for housing because that's what they need at the moment. For other industries, it's just going to be placing ads to people that might be interested at the time, but we know that at that moment, if someone is on a site relating to housing or searching for student housing or any type of place that they need to live, that's highly important and highly relevant. So we can take advantage of that by making sure we have all this detailed targeting to show people specifically what they need at the moment. That will in turn essentially become very relevant clicks, which brings relevant leads to our audience, to our clients.
How does Catalyst track leads?
The best way to actually provide leads to our clients is through online form submissions. So if someone or a property is having some sort of event, they can ask that people will RSVP, and then even if they don't show up to the event, at least we know that they actually submitted their information. We also, any ad that we have out there, we make sure it's tied to a contact form on the website. So if they're just showing any type of interest in the property, that at least email address and name is provided to them.
Explain the difference between geotargeting and geofencing.
So there's a lot of confusion between these types of targeting, mainly because people think geofencing and geotargeting are interchangeable terms. But geotargeting is actually providing some sort of parameter for where you want your ads to be placed, but on top of that, there needs to be another layer of targeting. So whether that's interest, keyword, behavior, we're not just going to show our ads to anyone in this large geographical setup that we have. They actually need to match something else. While geofencing is based on the user's IP address, so it's anyone actually located within this parameter that we've drawn out. That can be at a minimum of 1 mile. So if you want to just target anyone at a specific university, they don't need to actually be part of another layer of targeting like the keywords or the interest. They can just actually be physically located in that area. There's a lot of strategy that goes into that to make sure that we're not just placing our ads to anyone there. They need to, you know, make sure that it's someone that would be interested in the property that's located near them. So it's a lot of local awareness that we would use this for. But it's a great strategy to use if you have a low budget because you can go down to just one small radius. It can also be a very quick campaign. So for example, if someone is having a flash sale and they know that people down the street that could be at a local restaurant or mall or neighborhood that they might be interested in what the property has to offer, they'll say low rates, you know, for the next 2 hours, come check us out down the street. So you know you're reaching people right there, kind of gives that sense of comfort to the user that they know they're close by, it's something that they'd be interested in.
Why would you use one over the other?
So because we can get so specific with actually how we place the ads, it's down to, we just have a lot of control over actual ad placement. So if someone's, we know that we want them to be in that area, we can just set up the whole campaign and it blocks everyone else. We can do a lot of excluding. So it's just extremely relevant while some of the other advertising options don't give us, you know, the capability of minimizing where our actual ads are shown.
What types of ads are available at Catalyst?
So right now we have a couple different ad options. Text ads are going to be your standard search. A lot of people think of PPC or pay-per-click, but when someone just goes onto Google and they search for an ad, you will see the top three positions. Those are going to be your paid text ads. So it's going to have a very relevant header. It's going to have different ad extensions like your phone number, it can have the location, it can have reviews, it can have just different site links that will go to the actual different areas of the website. So there's actually a lot of information that can be put in to these text ads. And those are those very relevant clicks that we were talking about before, because someone is searching specifically for what we need. Another ad option is a display ad. So those ads are going to be placed on the display network, which can be any type of targeting, like keyword, demographic. We could do geofencing on the display network. But those ads will show up to people who might not be specifically searching for what we need, but we know based on their online behavior that they are interested. We also have two types of ads that we place on our social media marketing. So right now, Facebook and Instagram. Those two options are a static image ad, so that's just going to be your one standard piece of art, and then we have some different copy criteria that we can include. And then there's the carousel ad format. That is going to show multiple images. Right now, we see the most success anywhere from 3 to 5, and it allows the users to actually click through and see more information, more photos. Properties, we always recommend this too, because people are going to want to see what the property is all about before they're actually moving in or showing interest. So it's a great way for users to click through, and then there's also a call to action for each image. So if one kind of speaks more to learning more about that specific promotion, or if another one is actually encouraging you to apply now, we can use both and give the user the option that makes them feel more comfortable. And then lastly, there are video ads, which of course can range from Google or social media. So we can do video ads on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and then also Snapchat. So there's a lot of options that we can go, a lot of different areas with video ads, all very successful. And then that, of course, the targeting is just going to vary based on the platform that we place it on.
What does the Google partnership mean, and why is it important?
So the Google Partner is a program that Google offers to different agencies that have a big or a client base on AdWords. And they'll review all the different criteria and how the the agency is performing to determine whether they want to credit them with a badge that will show different clients that you are actually respected by Google and someone that they would recommend you use. So there's different benefits to having this Google Partner badge. You can have your own dedicated rep, which will let you know any different best practices. They'll review different accounts. They'll tell you which accounts need help, what you should do. They'll have quarterly review calls with you. They'll also inform you of anything, any new features that Google is rolling out, so you're always the first to know. You can always prepare your account, your different accounts within your overall AdWords account to make sure you're not going to get blindsided by any new updates that they might come up with. And then lastly, you have access to additional AdWords features that you may not have known about if you were not part of the partner program.
How do you earn that?
So there's three different ways to get, or I'm sorry, there's three different areas that you need to exceed. One is a certain amount of spend per quarter. This is just so Google can ensure that you're continuing to grow and you're not going up and down. While you may have one client at one point and then, you know, 25 at the other, they want to make sure it's very steady and it's a decent amount, and that just also goes into the amount of experience and the amount of time that you're actually spending within AdWords. You also need to pass all the AdWords exams and keep up with that yearly, so they expire every year. The exams are going to change a little bit as Google will have new features. And then lastly, there's an overall performance metric that's reviewed each quarter, and they want to make sure that you're exceeding that. So right now, Catalyst has exceeding the performance metric in mobile, display, and search. And our goal for the year is to get more YouTube ads up so we can become an expert in that area as well.
So what do you see for the future of paid online advertising for Catalyst?
I think as our client base builds and we get different types of housing, we're going to research various demographics, and we're going to make sure we follow those demographics, so into millennials to young professionals. As we continue, we'll just make sure we know everything about them and can provide different platforms, and we really don't want to have any limits to what we can offer and how we can place ads to these different users as they grow through their housing cycle.
For a quick recap, Melissa spoke with us today about paid ads, the difference between geofencing and geotargeting, controlling ad placement, and how to become and maintain your status as a Google Partner. If you need help with your company's search engine marketing efforts, we'd be happy to speak with you. This has been an episode of Listen, a Catalyst Marketing podcast, where we share insights, case studies, actionable tips, and more for all your marketing campaign needs. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can leave us a review at Apple Podcasts to help others find the show.